Not all guarantees are created equal. That's what makes the Total Trust Guarantee from Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service so special. It gives you 20/20 vision into the work we do. And now, you can get $10 off any 17-point oil change. Go to speedyoil.com/save for details. Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service, where you're in and out and back on the road with full service and total trust. Most vehicles discount off regular price. See store for details. See website for details on the Total Trust Guarantee.
All right, at time of the week to talk to Matt Maiocco of NBC Sports Bay Area. Matt, so many questions. So many questions. I don't even know if there's answers to them, but I guess I'll ask you this. What in the hell happened to the offense? Why can't Kyle get in rhythm, and when he does, why does he go away from it? What happened? This offense used to be good. They are decidedly not that anymore. What happened?
You know what? Your premise. I was going to come into this and just say, you know, Rod, Larry, I agree with everything you're saying, and I was going to come into this saying, and Tom, I'm going to agree with about half of what you're saying because you're usually kind of out there.
But oh, you're ready. Thank you.
But we're already starting off one for one. I don't know. Here's what I think. I think that Kyle Shanahan is so about, you know, the big play, and he has this tendency, and sometimes it serves him very well, that whenever something is working, he anticipates the adjustment being made, which then leaves the defense vulnerable in another area. Mm-hmm. And instead of, you know, in words that I've heard him use, instead of pounding your head against the wall against an 8-man front, you're going to use that and make a bigger play because of the success you've had in one area. The problem this year is that their counter to the stuff that's happening has not been successful at all. And so that always begs the question, why not stick with it? And I don't know the answer. I would say, I was just thinking about this last night. I mean, I think Kyle Shanahan is a really good coach, and it's going to, I guess maybe Kyle Shanahan is to me what Jimmy Garoppolo is to Kyle Shanahan. You know, I'm going to have to see a lot more than what we've seen to come off of my belief that Kyle Shanahan is a really good coach. I think that he's had a very not good, I was going to say bad. Well, yeah, let's go ahead and say
it. Yeah, bad's the word.
I think he's had a bad season. I think that, and he even admitted as much last night that he hasn't gotten into a rhythm as a play caller. It doesn't, you know, like when a quarterback has a bad game, it doesn't mean he's a bad quarterback. It means he had a bad game. So I kind of look at this season so far kind of from that standpoint of I don't think Kyle Shanahan's a bad coach by any stretch. I mean, he's a really good coach, but I do think he's not having a good season. So
Let me jump in real quick because I agree with you. I think he's right now, mentally, he's probably just a mess. He can't figure out why, what, how, and how to get back to where he can do this.
I agree with
you again. Yeah. Okay, all right, I'm going to try to get you. Well, I know you'll agree with this, too, then. You mentioned he doesn't want to keep pounding his head against the brick wall. That brick wall was paper mache early in the game. I would love to keep pounding my head against paper mache. Instead, he switched from paper mache to a brick wall for some unknown reason. I think it probably frustrates him. It frustrates us watching because we know there's more there. We saw it 2 years ago. We didn't see it 20 years ago. We saw it 2 years ago when he was in full flight as a head coach and had complete mastery of that offense. And again, there are some changing pieces, but a lot of them are the same. And it looks like a completely different offense. The quarterback looks completely different. And I tried to make excuses last week, Matt. I was like, you know, I think I told you they're really close. They have special teams one game. This, I don't feel that way after last night's game. After watching last night's game, I'm thinking this team's got a ways to go to get back to where I will feel like, hey, they're going to win the next game. Because I don't care who they play right now. I don't feel like they're going to Chicago. Are you better than Chicago? But I don't feel like, hey, they're going to win this game. I don't know what to expect.
Are you done, Tom?
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, and here, I mean, I'll support exactly what you're saying. Is that, you know,
very careful word choice. Okay.
There is a stretch there where, you know, Elijah Mitchell rips off a 20-yard run, followed by a 14-yard run, followed by a 14-yard touchdown. The 49ers had momentum, and then they even – the defense came through. They got a takeaway on a Jonathan Taylor fumble, so the 49ers had the ball. They could have gone up 14-0 in – you know, half the, you know, before half the fourth first quarter was played, and on a night like that, where you knew the rain was just going to be coming down, and it was going to be more and more difficult to move the ball through conventional means, they give the ball to Elijah Mitchell for the very first play out of that takeaway, and he gains 12 yards, and then it's like, okay, you know, we've talked all week last week about their identity, and I'm up there going, boom, there it is. That's the identity. They're just going to just demolish the Colts on the ground, just like they did against the Packers in that NFC Championship game. And then what happens? Three pass plays.
And a field goal.
No, yeah. Right? No yards. No yards. And a field goal. And yep. You're left there going, well, there goes momentum. And sure enough, I think they're followed like three – or no, I think it was five possessions where they didn't get a first down. Yep. And that basically gift-wrapped the Colts, you know, the momentum for the game. And so I guess my point going back to the first statement I made was, you know, maybe in the old days when things were rolling, you know, in 2019, things were rolling, 49ers, you know, have four run plays in a row like that, then they use something, you know, with a play action or whatever, and maybe they score on a 35-yard touchdown. In the 2021 San Francisco 49ers, that play leads to, you know, no gain on first down, and instead of running the ball on second and 10 and at least getting a manageable third down situation, you throw incomplete, and then you throw another incomplete pass. So, no, I forget what your question was or what we were talking about.
So do I. I forget, too.
What happened to the offense? And yeah. But you just finally got me to realize the source of my frustration. Because if you're waiting to unleash the play that leads to the big play that really gets the opposing defense, you know, all confused, you don't have those big play guys. You don't have him at quarterback. You have just Deebo Samuel as your wide receiver. You don't have a downfield threat. We've been through this Brandon Ayuk conversation before. You got no Kittle. You got no Mostert. So you're trying to do this whole, I'm going to wait and hit on this big play thing. I'm going to get this come up when you don't have the personnel to do that like you did in 2019.
Yeah. I mean, their big play threat yesterday, well, obviously Deebo Samuel, but it was by the way that game started, the big play threat was Elijah Mitchell. Elijah Mitchell was, you know, on pace to have a great game. And I just made a run to the store a couple hours ago, and I heard you guys talking. What was it, Larry, that he had like 80 yards rushing in the first quarter?
Right. He had 27 yards after the first quarter.
Yeah, there you go. So if something's not – it's just not working. And the rhythm of the play calling, whatever the case is, it's just not working. And it's tough to put finger on other than, you know, I do remember, gosh, I remember a game in the Harbaugh, Greg Roman era. And I think it was against the Cardinals. And they were just pounding the Cardinals. I think it was actually a fairly close game. But in the fourth quarter, 49ers put together this, you know, whatever, 13-play, 80-yard drive, and they ran the same exact play like seven times in a row. And it got to the point where the guys didn't even have to hear the play call in the huddle because they were all pointing to the sideline saying, run it again. And they just kept running it again and again and again. And, you know, I guess there's positives and negatives on both sides. But, you know, I think that everybody – and I know Kyle Shanahan is not like this, where you know, he's looking for the easy way out. I don't think that's him at all. But, heck, if the 49ers had run the ball, you know, all three plays on that ensuing possession and gotten stopped, and then they kicked the field goal, you know, I don't know that anybody's complaining. Everyone's going, okay, yeah, I can see that. They were having success on the ground and make the Colts stop you before you do something else. And but as it was, when you completely change what got you down there and what gave you a 7-0 lead, and it was probably, you know, about the most dominant I'd seen them on an opening drive, or any drive for that matter, this season, for them to just completely go away from it, it opens them up for extreme second guessing.
You know, the ultimate question is what's Jed going to do if this continues? Is he going to ride with these guys? Is he going to dump one of them? And at the end of the year, I mean, let's just say that what we're seeing is what we're seeing, right? That they're not going to be, there's not going to be a miraculous comeback, and that they're going to miss the playoffs again and maybe lose double digits again. What's going to be Jed's reaction to that? Cause I mean, right now, I mean, it's a very bottom line oriented business. Right now, Kyle Shanahan has a lower winning percentage than Chip Kelly had, than Mike Singletary had, far lower than Jim Harbaugh had, and Jim Harbaugh was shown the door. How's Jed going to react if this is a 10-loss season, another missed playoff appearance, how's he going to react? What do you think he's going to do?
Well, I mean, he's obviously not going to be happy, and I don't think anybody's happy right now. I mean, you see it in Kyle Shanahan's face. You see it in his body language. You hear it in his voice. I think John Lynch is the same way. I mean, nobody's happy with this, and everybody's feeling the frustration and the hurt and the fact that the expectations have not been met. The expectations haven't even come close to being met. But I just don't think there's going to be any wholesale changes. You know, maybe they kind of look at, okay, how's the player evaluation? How's that? How can that be tightened up? What needs to happen? But, hey, I mean, Kyle Shanahan is a proven, effective offensive coach. The system the 49ers are running defensively is an effective defensive system proven through the years. So, you know, when I look at stuff that happened with Jim Harbaugh, you know, Jim Harbaugh couldn't get along with anybody in the building. When I look at Jim Tom Sula in his one and done year, he had a horrendous coaching staff and the systems were not good. The same with Chip Kelly. You know, those were not proven NFL systems. It just didn't work. So there's always another reason beyond the wins and losses. And, you know, the fact that they got to the Super Bowl, they've fallen well short of expectations. But you also, on the back burner, you have the quarterback that is going to be the quarterback of the future. And you put enough trust into John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan to go out and say, yeah, we could stay at number 12 and we could get a quarterback that could be the guy for the future and who will kind of, you know, force feed into that role. Or you can give up all this draft capital and move up to number 3. That's the plan, to take it out of the hands of the other teams that are picking from 3 to 11. Let's do this. And so once Jed York decided to sign off on that, you know, John, Kyle, is that what you want to do? That's what we're doing? Okay, let's do it. Once he made that decision, you can't then pull the plug after 1 year. So you have to see that through. And, you know, we haven't even talked about Jimmy Garoppolo yet, but on March 26th, when that trade went down, the whole world was told that Jimmy Garoppolo is not going to be the long-term future of this team. And what we've seen is that Kyle Shanahan firmly believes that Jimmy Garoppolo is the best quarterback for the team in 2021, but that's not the case in 2022. So in a lot of ways, I think the slate wipes clean because of the decision that was made in March, followed up by the decision on draft night to take Trey Lance, I think the slate is wiped clean. And it remains to be seen if the individuals most responsible for bringing Trey Lance to the organization can support him with adding players around him, by grooming him, putting him in the system, pushing all the right buttons, the same buttons that haven't been pushed this year. It'll play out whether Kyle Shanahan can have more success with a quarterback who's more dynamic. So, again, a very long answer. I don't think anything happens that with the 49ers and Jed York making any dramatic decisions this year.
How much of what is going on with the DBs is on them? And I say that because Verrett had a history of injuries. It's brutal. He got hurt, but it sucks. But it's in his past. But they didn't really do anything to address it. They got Thomas in the third round, Lenore in the fifth or sixth, I think it was, both inactive. And they keep bringing in these guys that were, you know, anybody could have had. Norman, you could have Norman, you could have Kirkpatrick. And, I don't know what they're doing, but they might want to teach it differently or get somebody else. I mean, come on, the PI. That was Indy's best offense last night, was chuck it up and hope for the best. And it was very democratic because everyone pitched in on their on their PIs. I mean, it's brutal, Matt. It's like you're watching that. I said the 49er fans are going to have night terrors when they see the ball go in the air. It's like, oh, God, who's going to commit a PI now, or is it going to be completed and a PI? I mean, what could be done about it? Because last night was the worst, but it's been an issue all year long. And I could see teams like actually having that as part of their game plan. Hey, let's throw it up. These guys will just panic and they'll run into you and you have either a chance to catch it or we'll get a 40 or 50 yard penalty. I mean, what in the world could be done about this?
I don't think anything can be, because you're talking about a lot of players. Well, I mean, look at, you know, Josh Norman. The guy's been in the league for 10 years. So, you know, it's not, it, you know, that's not a rookie making that mistake. You know, Emmanuel Mosley started a lot of games for the 49ers, so that's not a rookie making that mistake. You know, Kaywan Williams has been in the league a long time. That's not a rookie making that mistake. You know, and then you look at Dre Kirkpatrick. I mean, 49ers probably wish he had committed a pass interference penalty on that play, because he didn't even challenge that thing. I mean, that was an easy game-clenching touchdown.
Yeah.
So, you know, what did they do? Jason Verrett was one of the few guys, it seemed like, last year who stayed healthy. And so they brought him back. And, you know, Jason Verrett last year, I mean, it had been a while since he played, you know, more than five games. Mm-hmm. And in whatever he played last year, 14 games maybe, I mean, he was good. He was really good. And he's as close to a lockdown corner as the 49ers have had, and a guy who's capable of playing in any kind of scheme. I guess the problem was that he played so well that the 49ers felt confident enough that, you know, the injury stuff is over. And now he's going to be kind of the centerpiece of the cornerback room, and Emmanuel Mosley is going to be solid on the other side. And then, hey, let's go. Let's draft a couple of cornerbacks. As you mentioned, Ambry Thomas was a guy that they felt like has a lot of, and this is their words, starting cornerback traits in the NFL, but he didn't play at all last year. In watching him in training camp, I mean, he was very grabby, you know, always committing penalties. And I don't know if that's a confidence thing or not. And D'Amador Lenore, he appeared to have kind of the it factor a little bit, a fifth round draft pick, but I think that his head was kind of swimming with the defense and what he's being asked to do and the adjustments, and then bouncing inside the nickel as well. And so last night, those two cornerbacks, the young guys that they added, you know, when they could have used that second round draft pick that they ended up moving back and getting Aaron Banks, they could have used that on a cornerback. They didn't. But they got two cornerbacks later in the draft, and as rookies anyway, you know, neither one of them is ready. Neither one of them is in a position to make any kind of impact, and the 49ers are rolling with Emmanuel Mosley, who I still think is a pretty good player.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is he a shutdown cornerback? No, you know, absolutely not. But I think he's a pretty good player. I think he's a starting NFL player. And then you have, you know, the two guys who were on the street up until, you know, the first week of the season, you know, Josh Norman and Dre Kirkpatrick. So, yeah, I mean, I just don't see that as an issue that's going away, because I think maybe those guys, maybe Josh Norman, you know, he's probably not the same athlete as he was 5-6 years ago. So you compensate in other ways. And, you know, I know he made some comments after the game about the league being an offensive-minded league, and, you know, teams are being rewarded for just throwing up 50-50 balls, which really aren't 50-50 balls, because the offense is going to always have the advantage. Well, you know, the 49ers aren't the only team in the league playing by those rules.
Right.
The 49ers are the team in the league being called for more penalties for pass interference and more penalty yards for pass interference than any other team in the league. So, yes, it might be a symptom around the league, but the 49ers are the team that's being adversely affected, not by the officiating, but by the panicky reaction that their defensive backs have when the ball is in the air traveling 40, 50 yards down the field.
Matt, real quick before we let you go, why did Kyle Shanahan today very quickly announce that Garoppolo will be the starter on Sunday, and why was he hesitant last night to do the exact same thing?
Well, here's what I think. He did say that he didn't go into last night thinking that, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo was one bad game away from being benched. And I think the issue with Trey Lance is you don't know if he's going to be able to play. He has a knee injury. He hasn't practiced in 2 weeks. So here's one thing. I'm in agreement in this way. I think Trey Lance should be the starter, but only when Trey Lance is physically ready.
Absolutely.
And I don't know that he's physically ready.
Right.
So and I'm kind of putting, I don't think, you know, Kyle Shanahan did not say this, but if he went into this last game against the Colts not thinking that Garoppolo was one bad game away from being benched, well, maybe that's this game.
Mm-hmm. Just to follow up before you leave here on Lance, you know, initially nobody thought he was hurt in the post game. Then we found out on that Monday after the Arizona game that he was hurt. And then at the time it was kind of announced, hey, it's not really a big injury. It's not a long-term deal. It sounds like Kyle's kind of changing his tune on that. Are they suggesting that it's a little bit more significant of a knee injury? And do we have any idea when they anticipate him being back on the field?
Yeah, they're anticipating him being on the field on Wednesday. I'm not sure anything's changed, Larry, because when they said it was a 1 or 2 week injury. So yesterday was 2 weeks. And Kyle Shanahan said that he anticipates that Lance will be on the field probably in a limited fashion on Wednesday, and then it remains to be seen how, when he gets out there, how he's able to function. And then he could be conceivably in uniform in a backup role on Sunday against the Bears. So I don't know that it's more significant than what the initial MRI showed. So it still seems to me like a 1 or 2 week injury, but we'll see. I think that you know, his condition is such that, especially the kind of game he plays, whenever you really start to seriously consider making that switch, you just want to make sure that he's healthy. Because I mean, at this point, you know, you're trying to win games. You're trying to win games any way you can, but you also have to really take care of him, because he is the future. And to go back to the Jed York question, you know, it's going to be the same. You know, Kyle Shanahan's the one. Kyle Shanahan's not going anywhere. I would be shocked if Kyle Shanahan goes anywhere after this season, because he stuck his neck out for Trey Lance and to make that pick, and he and John Lynch. And so the future of this franchise will be dependent on how Trey Lance develops over the long haul. And if Trey Lance becomes the player that those guys expect him to be, the 2021 season will be but a footnote in the annals of 49ers history.
The coach, the GM, and the quarterback of the future are tied together right now. Matt, we always appreciate the time, my man. Thanks a ton. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds great. Thanks,
right,
gentlemen.
Brother, we appreciate it.
Thanks,
Matt. You follow Matt on Twitter.
Not all guarantees are created equal. That's what makes the Total Trust Guarantee from Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service so special. It gives you 20/20 vision into the work we do. And now, you can get $10 off any 17-point oil change. Go to speedyoil.com/save for details. Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service, where you're in and out and back on the road with full service and total trust. Most vehicles discount off regular price. See store for details. See website for details on the Total Trust Guarantee.